She don't like that. But that's okay. But she did well. She came up.
I submit.
Everybody's.
Yeah,
the
they can hear. Okay. This is from a dream I had Friday night. I was in a church setting, and it was a pretty good sized church. I did not see the pastor in the pulpit, but we were there to do testimonials. So I saw some people that I had been going to church with in other churches that we've been in, and it was so good to see them. So one by one, they'd come to the podium, and they would try and speak, like testify what the Lord had done for them and whatnot. And every single one, they just could not speak. So I got this sense of something's not right here. So after almost everyone tried, I said, and it was like the Lord showed me. I said, the enemy has stop them from being able to say, you know, or even glorify God or lift up the name of Jesus. So I went down the aisle, and all of a sudden, guess who shows up? And dressed really nice as a man. And I knew who it was. And I was just, my eyes were locked on him. And he was here, like on here, and I stopped a few feet away from him. And I just, it was a boldness that I was gonna confront him and address him. And I looked at him and I told him, yes, I will address you. And he just stood real, like he was confident. And then when I went to say something, I knew what he was trying to do. My eyes would not leave his eyes, I said. And as I was, you know, in a raspy voice, I looked at him and I said, Jesus is Lord. And he just disappeared. And so I just want to say that when you're going to come against Satan, you don't need a whole bunch of stuff. There's no formula. You just tell him. Tell him the word. Tell him the truth. Jesus is Lord. He can't stand against that. So it's encouraging to know that. But to see that he was trying to stop the body of Christ from speaking, you know?
Amen. 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 Yes, he does. And he does try to silence the church. Because he knows the power there is in the body of Christ. Not because of us, but because of what our Savior has done for us. You know, and as we were singing this morning, I said, Lord, thank you for this year. I said, thank you. This year, 2022. What a great year, people. What a great year. Year of harvest. A year where God has promised us so many things. And it's going to come to pass. Maybe this year. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand if this has God promised you something and told you something and it has not come to pass yet. Okay. Amen. It's coming. It's coming. Because the voice of our Lord and the voice of his church and his believers will not be silenced by the enemy. It will not be silenced. And God, let me tell you, God is so powerful, but he limits his power because we can't take it. But the power of God to perform and do what he needs to do to get the job done before he comes, he will get it done. The things that he promised you, the things that he spoke to you about in his word, and even just individual promises, lo and behold, it will come to pass. Because our God is true to his word and he's true to his promises. He is a man of his word. And it will come. God will fulfill what needs to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Marie. Appreciate that. Well, good morning. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I know this weather keeps people back, you know, and stuff. It just does. It's hard, especially for the elderly, you know. Come out sometimes. But God is still faithful no matter what, people. I always look at it this way. All that Jesus did for me, I got to do everything I can for him. Amen. Everything, no matter what. No matter what. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, amen. Y'all know what today is? You're probably saying it's Sunday. You're smart. Well, today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Sanctity of Life Sunday. And this is where all the churches recognize human life and how sacred it is to the world, how sacred it is to God, and how sacred it should be to fellow human beings upon the earth. That every life is important, no matter what's going on in their lives. And I know this is the day that has been, well, in the whole month, but this is a specific Sunday that comes about, that we talk, or we kind of put the light on abortion and how important God sees these babies. President Ronald Reagan issued a proclamation creating the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day in 1984. This is a day for Americans to focus on the value of each and every human life. You are very valuable. Some people may not think so, whatever, but you are very valuable to God. You are very valuable to the church. You are very valuable to the body of Christ. You are very valuable to your job. You are very valuable to your family. You are very valuable to your spouse. You are very, very valuable. That means that we should not take lightly who we are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. That God has made us people that could glorify God, that could praise and worship and honor him. We need to remember the loss of more than 54 million unborn children since 1973. I know I went through that very quickly. 54 million babies. Let that sink into your mind and heart. That's hard for us to imagine. It's hard since 1973. 54 million babies. I'm not talking about even the euthanasia of elderly people. Some want it. Some want to get out of this world. But a lot it's being done by doctors. So say doctors. And even family members that are allowing it to happen to get rid of the elderly, which is not good. God values every single person from the time of conception to the time they are born, to the time they are toddlers, to the time that they are young teenagers, to the time that they are in their teens and 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Sometimes 100. God values the life of humanity, of people. Because you see, God gave his son for us. He gave his son because of the sin that was in us that needed to be, and the price that needed to be paid. But he loves you and I so much. You know, we're seeing, they have many, you know, yesterday I was passing mail and I saw that one of the churches, they had people outside and they were praying. And I realized the signs. Oh, they were praying against abortion. And I realized that, oh, yes. In 1973, it was passed, legalized in all 50 states. And you know what? It has brought so much heartache and pain upon women and men. The heartache and the pain and the sorrow. You know, I don't know. You know, you look out in any church, probably there are probably some women that had abortions before they were born again, before they gave their lives to the Lord. And you know, they made a bad decision, or somebody coerced them into it. And they have to live with the pain and the heartache. If you were here and that has happened to you, for whatever reason, Jesus loves you and has forgiven you. Walk in that freedom and liberty that only God could give through His Son, Jesus Christ. What a stain upon our world. What a stain upon our country to have 54 million babies killed. And now, I forgot which state it is. Is it Minnesota or something? That they allow even the baby to come out and still it could be killed? What's the governor? What governor was it? New Jersey, one of them. Yeah, y'all, sin will never stop. You get further and further down. That's why it's so important to go to God and let Him do a mighty work to take things out and to do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. Sin will bring you lower than you ever want to go. You and I will do things if we allow that thing to fester inside of us and not let the Spirit of God keep moving. And I'm not saying, hey, we won't fall. But God can move and take out the desire for those things of evil. But now they're allowing, can you imagine? Your children, just think of them when they were born. I was there for all three of them. I saw them all come out. Cut the cords. Can you imagine coming out into the world? Life. And all of a sudden is just snuffed out. How horrible. How horrible. Not good. Not good. As of 2020, the U.S. population is 330 million. Can you imagine 54 million gone? Our population is just 330. Well, that's what we know. There's too many of them running around that's not accounted for. But that's going to change soon. It's going to change. We just got to make sure that we keep praying, Lord. And look, laws are being passed. And look, things are being done. And I'm telling you, God says, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, He will come in and He will heal the land. That's a promise of God. I know we've been hearing about that and we've been hearing about it. And sometimes the church gets lulled to sleep. And we think, well, that will never change, the abortion issue that became legal in all the states. But I tell you what, as we look to God and we see that God can change, because things are changing. It's getting lower and lower. Things are happening. But even one is too much. Even one is too much. That stain would go, that we would ask forgiveness and ask the Spirit of God to move upon our nation. Stand for what is right. Stand for what is truth. And I'm sure probably each and every one of us know of someone, some young lady or lady that has had an abortion and that has hurt them. We just need to love them, pray with them, show them God's forgiveness and how God forgives and what He can do within their hearts and in their lives. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 6, please. Proverbs 6, well-known verse, starting with verse 16. It says, These six things does the Lord hate. Yes, seven are an abomination unto him. Proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. It could be murder, could be abortion, but anyone that sheds innocent blood, human blood. It's not talking about going hunting and stuff like that. Now, don't go hunting and throw the meat away. I mean, you don't do that. God wants us to be good stewards of the land. But there's nothing wrong with getting out there and shooting whatever you want to eat. Some things are good, some things are questionable, you know. Hey, I look at it this way. If you can eat a chicken, which eats anything, or you can eat crabs that eat anything, catfish, you can eat anything, almost, you know. And I love crabs, I tell you what. To go crabbing and to get those crabs, I tell you, it's a good thing. It's good. But you know what? Let's hate the things that God hates and love the things that God loves. You know, I want you to keep that before you this month, praying as these issues go before our Supreme Court, that they will do what is right. We know the last thing they did what was right. Because we have some righteous on there. Some not. I mean, it's the truth. But because of this vaccine thing, now it has been done away with it as far as mandated. The Supreme Court said it's illegal and cannot be done. Cannot be done. Now, a certain company, it's their own company. They can mandate whatever they want, and we can work there if we want to or not, if they hire us. And we can go from there. But you see, thank the Lord that they stepped in and did what was right. The greatest weapon at our disposal as Christians is prayer. You know, as Marie said, and that was prayer. Jesus is Lord. That's a prayer. Look, let me tell you this. The enemy comes in to destroy. That's what he desires. And he comes in clothed like a great man. You know, as a man that is just well-groomed and well, but he is evil on the inside of his heart. He wants to destroy the churches. He wants to destroy God's people. He hates God's people. Just a matter of note to you, and the reason I'm going to say this is because he called me and let me know, because I've been in contact with him. Ryan Reshort, they are starting their own church. So, now, you might say, well, I thought they were, well, they were under Harvest Time, and they were branched out, and he was like a campus pastor, you know what I'm saying, in New Iberia. But they went talk to him, and everything hopefully is good from what I understood, and I think they might be announcing it today, maybe. Announcing it today. And so within a few weeks, I guess, maybe even next week, who knows, that they will be out on their own. You know, and preaching the gospel and doing. So if you have time, pray for them. You know, I don't know what the name of their church will be, you know, but pray that God would give them wisdom, because when God calls, God equips. But sometimes you don't know what's going to happen till you get in it. And it's not the easiest thing. It's not easy. It's not easy, but God can sustain. And God, you know, you never know what else God may have in store for them. And so we just believe in God. So if you would, you know, Ryan, Richard, that came preach. Okay. So they're going to start hopefully within the month for sure. Could be next week. I don't know. That they're going to be on their own, like just an independent church, not under any umbrella of any church as far as, you know, over a church over them. But they will be, and you know what, you might say, well, is there anything wrong? There's nothing wrong with that. You know, when God called Moses, he didn't say, okay, Moses, now submit yourself to da-da-da-da-da-da-da. What did he say? Submit to who? To him. You know, to him. That's what pastors have to do. They have to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I tell you what, as they submit to them, that doesn't mean they're perfect, but they will do what God calls them to do and to preach the gospel uncompromisingly. And so now I think he can branch out and really do what God calls him, has called them to do, and to reach that community. I think they're going to stay in New Iberia a little while, but I think they want to move towards the Youngsville area, whatever, you know, and stuff. So, you know, he's just amazed. He said, how did y'all do it? And I told him what we did. And what about finding, you know, what did y'all do? And I said, just submit yourself to the Lord. I said, we've never gone without. Never. Never. But God makes a way where there seems to be no way. And he will do what needs to be done. And he will bring the people that need to be there. And he will do what needs to be done to get the job done. See, prayer changes things. Yes. See, we think programs. Most programs could be thrown in the trash. Yes. I'll be honest with you. I'll be honest with you. It's just, I'm not saying all, because there's a lot of good. But most of them don't do much at all. Most programs could be thrown in the trash and let the pastor submit to the Spirit of God. Amen. Do this what God wants. Just, that's just, and I know you thinking the same thing. And in your home, when you and I, when in your home and you submit to the Lord and let God do a mighty work, what happens in that home? There's a mighty move in that home. The Spirit of God is there. God is moving upon the husband. God is moving upon the wife. God is moving upon the children. That doesn't mean there's no problems, but that means that God is in control. And he's working things out that needs to be worked out. That's what God, you see, prayer changes things. I want you to turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. Look at verse 7, page 1486. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, the Spirit of the Lord this morning, I tell you, oh my Lord. You know, as believers, we need to be touched by the Spirit of God. Really, we should be touched by the Spirit of God on a daily basis, because we need it. When we're not touched by the Spirit of God, and it's not the Spirit of God's fault, but when we don't take the time to pray and seek God, he's not able to touch the innermost part of our being, of who we truly are, and to work in our hearts and in our lives so that he can mold and make us into the image of what he wants us to be. You see, you are not to be like me, and I'm not to be like you. We are to be like Jesus. Amen. Now, we like the qualities in each other that God has done. We could admire those things, but still our faith and our and who we are and who we should trust is him and him alone, in who he is and what he can do. He can take somebody that's on drugs and alcohol and evil and sin and turn them into a great man or woman of God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing what God has done in his heart and life. That's what God can do. He wants any and everyone who will submit their hearts and their lives to him. No matter how good we are or how bad we are. But to submit to him and to see God move in our hearts and lives. We need the power of Almighty God. Look at this in Daniel chapter 6. Look at verse 7. Verse 7. It says, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. And to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or a man for 30 days save of you. O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now Darius was the king. And Darius, as I read about this man, was once touched by God. But here we had Daniel. Daniel grew up knowing the things of God. Now we're going to talk about a little bit how Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But I want to bring this point out to you. In looking at things and reading in the commentaries here and other books, they seem to think that Daniel was not a young man when this occurrence happened. They seem to think by writings that he was at least, listen to this, 80 years of age or up. I guess I just never saw it before. But here we see a man that grew up, that had values, that stood up for righteousness, that stood up for the right things. And just because he stood up for what was right, we have all these people coming against him because they can't find anything wrong with him, his life. And yet they want to do, because they know this man, we're going to read the scripture, where Daniel at least three times a day would go before he would open his window and look towards Jerusalem, look towards that tabernacle, that area where the Spirit of God was, and he would pray to that, oh, there, to pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And these princesses, these presidents, these people in that area saw what he did, and he never gave up. Even when he didn't feel like it, he opened his window and prayed. Even when he was sick, he opened his window and prayed. Patient, he opened his window and prayed, because he was a man of action, a man of word, and he gave his heart to the Lord, and he was going to do everything he could to see God move in his area and in the life of himself and the life of his family. A man dedicated to the things of God, no matter what. And people didn't like him, some. Now, yet some people loved him because he was a man of God. Man of God. And all of a sudden, a decree went out, and they knew what they were doing. Yeah. Let me tell you, there are some evil people out there. They will slide their way in like snakes and to do everything they can to trip you up. Men, be careful with ladies. I'm not talking about godly women out there. Ladies, be careful with men out there. Don't be blind. They're trying to trip you up, and the devil tries to trip you up. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. One action, you could lose your whole family. One, you could lose your whole family. Don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Here we see Daniel. The decree went out. And you know what? With Daniel, they made it for 30, and it was all just for him. Yeah, it went out, you know, that they should not pray to any other god. But let me tell you this. They could have made it for one day, and they still would have caught him. They could have made it for half a day, and they still would have caught him. They could have made it for a fourth of a day. They still would have caught him in the morning or in the afternoon, whatever, wherever they wanted it. Because he was going to pray and seek his God. Like he did yesterday, the day before, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, because he was firm in his relationship to the Lord. And we know this, the scripture says, and I'm going to run through it a little bit because of time's sake. They're watching him. It's like FBI agents with their binoculars. The window open up yet? No, not yet. It's about to, though. We know he opens it up at 12:01 every day. We know he opens it up at 7:01 in the morning and about 6:01 in the afternoon and 12:01 in noontime. We're waiting. We're waiting. Boy, they look. And all of a sudden, and he knows the decree went out. When you know that somebody's trying to set you up and destroy you just because they don't like you because of your righteousness and right standing with the Lord, that hurts them. He knew it. He heard. And when he got up that morning, he had a decision to make. When you get up tomorrow morning, will you serve God with everything within you? I'm not saying you and I are perfect, but to serve him. The power of Almighty God. That time came, let's say 12:01. Oh, they said, I think it's close. And he opened the windows. And they said, let's see what he does. That we know he kneels down every time. I don't know for sure, but I'm sure he did, like it says, scripture. And he knelt down. He may have raised his hands, I don't know. And he said, Father, I give you praise and honor and glory. Can you imagine the spirit world saying, thank you? Because probably there might have been others that prayed but didn't do it that day, that first day, because they knew they would have been thrown in the lion's den. To have a lion's den experience, you have to go through the fire. We want the testimony, but we got to go through the fire to get it. Not that we beg for it, and not that we're looking for it, but we go through it because our God has trusted us that we will keep our faith and our trust in him no matter what. No matter what goes on in this world. No matter what goes on. And all of a sudden they see him. They look, is that him? Yes, that's him. It could have been anybody else. They could care less. If his wife would have kneeled down or whatever, his son or whatever children, I don't know. If they would have done it, they would have said, don't worry about it. That's him. Get him. And all of a sudden they go and they get him. And they bring him to the king. And the king realizes the mistake. But it pumped him up to see, nobody's going to go and do anything except unto me. Pride. God hates pride. And all of a sudden, they said, you got to do what you got to do. I understand. And they took Daniel and they threw him in the lion's den. And you know these lions, they probably hadn't fed them in so long. They were hungry. They needed some food. Can you imagine they see Daniel coming down that chute? I'm saying it that way. And they say, food. You know, like a Big Mac or something, you know. You know, rice and gravy here. Pork, rice, and gravy, something, man. Oh, my God. Okay. And all of a sudden, he lands down in there. And all of a sudden, the angels are there. And those lions don't open their mouth. We don't know for sure, but they could have laid right on the side of him and kept him warm, licking his wounds, loving him. That's what God can do. Amen. They might have people out there that have not fed the lions of society wanting to destroy you. But let me tell you this. They cannot destroy what God builds up. They cannot take down what God has built up in your heart and in your life. And the king had to put the ring of his finger, the signet, on that top of that seal as they sealed it to saying, I have to keep my word. He didn't want to, but he knew he had to. And he stayed up all night. Let me tell you this. Through every difficult problem you and I go through, no matter what it is, God will be glorified in our lives, and he will take care of other things in other people's lives also. He not only touches your life, but he touches the other people's lives, like King Darius. I bet you he never forgot that. What God did. And all of a sudden, early in the morning, he runs out there, takes that seal off, that big rock, and he calls out to Daniel, Daniel! And Daniel answers him back. My God. The power of Almighty God that was in that den of lions. Let me tell you this, wherever we go, because of the power of Almighty God that's in our hearts and in our lives, God is with us. No matter what. Don't ever feel you're alone. You might feel it, but you're not alone. We don't live by feelings. We live by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And our God can change and move mountains. Our God can move upon situations like we've never seen him do before. As we hand over our burdens, as we hand over our problems, as we hand over those things that hurt us on the inside, God Almighty comes in and he changes us and changes our hearts, changes our lives, and we see God move in us. The power of Almighty God. What God can do. What God can do. And brought him out of that place and made him overseer of certain areas. And he said, no one will come against the God of Daniel. No one. A decree went out. See, let God move. Let God move. Let God move. It may seem so hard, people, but let me tell you this. As you submit to God and you let God move, and quit trying to manipulate the situation. Don't try to make it happen. Be spirit-led, and then God will make it happen. The promises he promised you, it will happen, because he's a God of and a man of his word, no matter what. No matter what, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, you will come out of that den of lions unscathed, unhurt by the Spirit of God. You will know more about God because of the situation you went through, because he will make himself known unto you. Can you imagine, as Daniel was down there, that the Spirit of God was talking to him? The angels were there, probably God, probably Jesus himself, the angel, speaking to him, showing him things. My God, what God can do. What God can do. What God can do. What God can do. Praise God. Trust him no matter what. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on your own understanding. Today, this week, you see there's numerous people not here. Lift them up in prayer, because God wants to move in their hearts and lives. There's, hey, look, you know, I understand certain things. But also this, Daniel was 80 years old or so, or even more than that. And he stood the test of time. Wow. You're never too old that God cannot use you in the kingdom. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. Oh. I'm not talking about retirement with jobs and stuff, even pastoring. Yes. But in the kingdom of God, still God can use you to pray. Even God can use you to teach a class. Even God could use you to help other people. My God, there's no retirement. There's always things for the kingdom of God. You're never too old. You're never too old. Zero, no matter what. I hope I can serve the Lord to the day I die as far as working. I'm no serving him, yes, but to the day I die doing something in the house of the Lord. Even if I'm just a doorkeeper, it doesn't matter to me. Lord, help me to be the best doorkeeper there ever was. Amen. To do what God wants. Praise the Lord. Keep Christ first. Keep Christ first. others. Amen. You may stand, please. Praise be unto our God. Praise be unto our God. Oh, as every head is bowed, if you don't mind, every eye closed. Oh, thank you, Lord. I want to ask you a very important question, all the ones that are watching too by Facebook, YouTube, and all that. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Amen. If you have not done so and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand? Amen. So we would know. Amen. Let's all pray together. I know no one raised their hand in here, but you never know. There's people watching. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And you're seated at the right hand of the Father. I accept you as my God. Lead me and guide me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may look this way. I tell you, you see, I went over a little bit. I'm sorry. That's what happens when I don't preach on, like, last Sunday. No. Oh, can you imagine if I missed a month? You'd be here till 2 o'clock. Man, come. We're going to have a bag lunch because you can eat while you... No. But I count it a pleasure to be in front of you. I count it a pleasure to pastor you. I count it a pleasure and a privilege.